So come see us tomorrow at El Patio. We'll be there. Zach and Phil will be there. They're going to keep the party rolling through 6 p.m. And they are here right now. Gentlemen, what's up, boys?
What's up? How we doing?
We're doing good, man. I just got to roast Gilbert Arenas a little bit, so I'm feeling good
too. Oh, man. You want to know what? I've kind of gone back and forth whether to do that today.
Really?
Because I want to. I want to put him on a crucifix and just absolutely just whip him. you know... I don't know if I want to give him the energy either.
That's what Will was saying.
We just went down this road of like, clown behavior doesn't deserve to be rewarded sometime. Because you know what he ordered? A side of attention. Should we give him that side of attention?
I'll leave it up to Phil because I used to love watching and used to. I loved watching Gilbert Arenas play.
Yeah.
He was a fantastic scorer, man. He had a stretch of like 4 to 5 years where, you remember what his nickname was? You guys remember what
Agent
his nickname
Zero.
Well, Agent Zero. He used to call himself Hibachi.
That's right.
Because it just heat up so quick. He was the man. But he's, you know, a lot of these guys, they go into the media space, and the way that they're going to get their podcast on someone's radar, it's just going to say wild stuff. And, you know, he totally disrespected Jokic, and I don't know. I'll leave it up to Phil. If we're going to do it later in the show, but he was wild for that one. He's getting dragged a little bit online.
Oh, he is good. Yeah. I haven't been on Twitter.
I mean, that's probably
a lot
what
today.
He wanted, though. You know, sometimes to stay relevant, you got to do crazy things.
Yeah,
like pulling a gun during a poker game on a team plane. Oh wait, Gilbert Arenas did that too.
That was Gilbert Arenas.
You got thousands and thousands of dollars on the line. No one wants to pay you. I think we're gonna pull it out too. Maybe his water gun. Give me my money.
Wow. All right, you guys have a good day.
Oh my gosh. I heard you guys, you had Mike on, Mike Kliss. I heard you guys talk a little bit about the quarterback spot and kind of going around the Denver sports scene. What do you guys thought was your favorite topic today, over the last 4 hours?
I really liked our topic with Mike. We went through his mock and then asked him about it. Mike has the Broncos bringing two quarterbacks home in the 2024 draft. Early, be it 12 or, you know, whatever their first pick ends up being. He has them taking a Bo Nix or a Penix type. And then has them taking a flyer later on in a fifth round where the Broncos have three picks of a Michael Pratt or a Spencer Rattler or one of these secondary tier of quarterbacks. And it's something that, I don't know, Will, I won't speak for you, but I hadn't really considered yet. But reading the idea, talking it out with Will, I love the idea.
Well, if the cupboard is that bare, sometimes you have to restock it. And it's unconventional to take two QBs in one draft. I get it.
Yeah.
But when your room is Jarrett Stidham and Ben DiNucci, maybe taking two isn't a bad idea. A couple recent examples, RG3 and Kirk Cousins in Washington.
Yeah.
And, of course, Brock Purdy and Trey Lance in San Francisco. In both cases, the later pick worked out better than the higher pick. It's not the worst idea in the world to take a quarterback in the first and the fifth in this draft.
Well, what just came to my mind is a couple former teammates of Phil's, and it's not the same draft, but they took Trevor Siemian in the seventh round, or was that the same draft? Was it the 16 draft where they took Paxton in the first round?
You might be right, Zach.
And then they took Trevor late, or was Trevor the class of 2017? I don't quite remember.
But no, because Trevor has a ring, so Trevor was 15.
Okay, so he was on the team. So he was Brock's, so he was a third string?
He was third string.
For the 15 team?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Man, I think just learned something new right now. I didn't quite realize that he was on that team.
Yeah, Trev's older than we think.
Yeah.
They picked Trev in the seventh round of 2015, Paxton in the first round of 2016, and then that experience, and then actually Chad Kelly in the next year in round 7.
Because it's a James Merrillat special. Trevor Siemian took the knee in Pittsburgh when Peyton was hurt, and Brock Osweiler played against the Steelers, and Siemian took a knee during the Super Bowl year, that game up in Pittsburgh, to end the first half. And James always said, your plan after winning a Super Bowl was a quarterback who took one knee the previous season.
Oh, right.
Trev was on the squad. Trev's got some hardware.
Okay, so I had it flipped in my head. I had Trev coming here the year after Paxton. But, yeah, it's just investing in the position. I mean, it's so important. It's so important that taking two is not the worst idea. The only problem is you don't have a ton of picks and there is so many holes. And it's like, you know, could you take a flyer on a linebacker or a tackle or whatever in the third or fourth round as opposed to like a Michael Pratt or a Spencer Rattler? But gosh, I don't hate the idea.
Yeah, see, I'm not really in on this idea because, one, I think Sean's all in with the Jarrett Stidham. I don't think he's going anywhere. He may not start or maybe not be our starter, but there's something about Jarrett Stidham that Sean likes. Okay, second of all, if you go and you draft the first-round quarterback, you're not going to have another quarterback in that draft that's going to compete with him right now. It's going to be that first-round quarterback and Jarrett Stidham. That's what they want. I don't see him going out. They only got eight picks now.
Yeah, eight now.
Eight picks. All right, you have a bunch of holes to fill. You end up getting a first-round quarterback is what we're thinking. Jarrett Stidham still got a little bit more money than we're thinking.
Yeah.
And now it's like we're not going to add someone like Spencer Rattler just to add him.
Interesting thought. And it just depends on how bullish on Stidham Sean actually is.
Yeah.
You know, could that steer a draft night choice? What would be a position that you would want to throw something at your TV?
Anybody on the defensive side of the ball.
Really?
Any player on the defensive side of the ball.
What about like an edge rusher?
Any player on the defensive side of the ball.
Why though? Because defense wins championships.
Really?
They do.
How many games have they won for the Broncos in the last 8 years?
But our defense hasn't been superb.
It's been better than the offense.
Yeah, but you still have to have offense. I'm not going to say that because the Denver Broncos with Peyton Manning wasn't a good offense when they won that Super Bowl.
But you just said the magic word. Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
But I mean, do the Broncos have a bona fide edge rusher? See, and the reason I'm giving you pushback on that is because I think edge rusher is one of the five most important positions in football.
I agree with you.
And I don't believe there's some nice pieces that maybe you could forecast, but there's not. I mean, when's the last time the Broncos had a 10-sack guy?
It's the
Chubb 3 or 4 years ago, maybe? Yeah, I don't know the answer off the top. Dude, is this a trivia question, or are you thinking out loud here?
No, I'm thinking out loud.
Yeah, I mean,
Chubb's first year, I think he had, 12 and a half sacks.
Yeah, I think he's first.
I don't think he ever led the team in sacks after that.
The year that Chubb ended up getting the Pro Bowl,
Malik Reed.
Led the team. And team in sacks.
Wow. Yeah.
This may be just my football philosophy. Offense means more than defense to me. And quarterback is obviously the most important position in all of sports. So it's as great as Patrick Surtain is. And we talked about this today. His skill set, it's weird to say it doesn't matter. But it doesn't have an impact on the game the way it should or could if this team had a quarterback on the roster.
Yeah. Offense means more in the regular season. In the postseason, if you want to go for the playoffs and championship, you got to have a defense.
I'd just like to get to the dance at this point. Can I get a ticket to the dance, please? Let's take some baby steps.
Yeah. Now I'm thinking about this. Well, hold on real quick. Okay, take away quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Tight end would probably be the next biggest need on offense,
agreed,
right?
Agreed.
What next position on offense would the Broncos need more than an edge rusher in the first round after quarterback and tight end?
Okay. I don't know that it's more than, but they do need wide receiver help as well.
They do.
But okay. I'm not sure I can give you the more than.
Yeah.
So it might be quarterback, tight end, defense.
Okay.
But I'm talking about like the fourth round now. We're into the fourth round.
But this defense needs some work. Needs some safety help, need linebacker help, need edge rusher help, need D-line help.
They got to stop the run this year.
Well, by the way, real quick, I've got your answer. The Broncos have not had 10 sacks in a season. Guess the year.
So 2018?
Correct.
Chubb.
Chubb and Vaughn.
Vaughn had 14 and a half, and Chubb had 12.
Yeah.
But after that, they haven't. 2019, 2020, 2021, 2022, 2023.
Wild.
It's been five full seasons without a player with 10 sacks.
So how about this? So how about this? We're stumbling across this. And it's got to do with my co-host, too. So the Broncos haven't had a 10-sack guy since 2018 and haven't had a 1,000-yard rusher since 2019.
When Phil did it?
Yeah. Phillip Lindsay's the last 1,000-yard rusher.
Hey, that's what happens when you put bad juju out there, right? when they mess with you.
I mean, think about
when
that.
When you mess with a bull, you get the horn.
You need a shirt. Like, we should get a shirt for Phil that says, the Broncos haven't had a 1,000-yard rusher since me.
Just like the two
and
thumbs.
You wear that every day.
But
yeah,
think about that. How sad is that?
Well, when's the last time we had a 1,000-yard receiver? Because Cortland was the last one, right?
Yes,
Cortland
that was 2019.
For both years, yeah.
Yeah, so you can throw that in there, too.
So haven't had a 1,000-yard receiver since 2019, haven't had a 1,000-yard rusher since 2019, haven't had a 10-sack guy since 2018. This is how you get here.
Yeah.
This is how you end up here.
You're right, man.
Goodness. All right.
Hey, real quick.
Yeah.
Nice shirt, dude.
Thanks, man.
That is some nice work right there.
This is, it's the shirt of, this is Coco Beware, the Birdman.
Heck yeah.
From the 80s and 90s, professional wrestler. Yeah. That was my old nickname in college.
Coco
and,
Beware?
No, in high school, Birdman. And John Davis bought me this shirt in like 2019.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah,
dude.
It's just like a random gift.
That's cool.
All right. Thanks for staying, fellas. Look forward to seeing you guys tomorrow at El Patio downtown. It is going to be an absolute scene. You got to come say hello. But there's a big question just hanging out there in Denver sports, and it's getting larger by the day. That's where we'll start coming up next.
In this club, have me a good time before my time is up. Hey, let's get it now.
Just hanging out there in Denver sports, and it's getting larger by the day. How are you doing, Mr. Philip Lindsay?
I'm doing great, man. Actually, I went out there, shot some golf balls. I didn't get on the course, but
okay. You went to hit some balls?
Yeah, man. Kind of work on my game, try to keep things straight. That's my issue is it curves to the left a lot.
Yeah,
slices to the left. But I'm getting better, man. It was beautiful out there.
Dude, it's so nice.
How are you?
I'm doing good, man. I'm jealous now. I was in between running the Saddle Rock, which is right by my house.
I was there. Zach.
So you were there.
I went out there, shot some balls.
Okay. So I would have saw you there. But I was in between. I'm like, do I go for like a longish walk or do I go hit some balls and just got out there and start walking? But on my way in, I'm watching these guys play. I'm like, man, it's such a nice day out there.
Yes,
such a nice day.
I almost ditched you today. I was like, oh, I'm going to call in sick.
I wouldn't have blamed you. But that's one thing about you, man. You do not miss a lot of work.
Nah, man. I pride myself off of it. But honestly, Zach, I just think it's because of the NFL. No matter what, you're always at work.
Yeah.
If you're sick, you're at work.
Yeah.
Right? Because you have to see the doctors there. And then you go and you still practice. So it's just something that I'm always doing.
You've missed literally one day, I believe, since September?
Yeah, man. Yeah. But I got that little one coming, man.
Oh, right. Okay. Okay.
Time for that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That's right.
I'm hurt for that one.
We're off and rolling. The big question that's just hanging out there in Denver sports, Phil, and it's growing, I think, a little bit with each and every passing day. We're 16 days away from game one of the NBA playoffs, and we don't know what's going on with Jamal Murray.
Mm.
We just don't know.
Yeah.
And like we kind of talk in circles about it like, well, it's a knee. Well, when did it happen? Well, we don't know. When's he coming back? We don't know. But he's going through warm-ups, so he's got to be healthy enough. Well, why isn't he playing? We don't know. And it's just one of these things that we're going to get an update on this while we're on the air today. And I am just, I'm fascinated in a wrong kind of way with the story.
No, for sure. I wish we were going to get a detailed update. Because every time Malone goes to the podium, it's kind of just like, no, he's not going to play.
Right.
And Scrappy Will kind of said it earlier. It kind of makes it seem like he thinks we all know that it's more of a significant injury than is put on. Because when he talks to us or he talks to the media, it's like, you guys don't know that he's not going to play. You guys should know he's not going to play.
Right.
Kind of attitude.
Right.
And it's just like, well, if that's the case, let us know what's going on.
Yeah, what happened?
You know? And I know you don't want to put all the stuff out there. As a player, I didn't want nothing to be out there.
Okay.
Especially when you have to go out there and get hit, because what's the first thing they're going to go and look at?
Target.
Oh, he got a knee.
Yeah.
Hit that right knee. So, of course, you don't want it all out there. You don't want people panicking like we are right now. Like, what's going on with Jamal?
Yeah, right. Well, we're just so tight up against the playoff window, Phil. I mean, we're 2 weeks away. You're talking about 16 days from when the Nuggets will be starting. The play-in will be already finished 16 days from now. So we'll just keep our eye on it. We'll pass the information along as soon as we get the news, whether he is or isn't going to play later tonight against the Los Angeles Clippers. Right now, the Nuggets are currently in the two seed. All right, in that second seed, looking up at the Timberwolves. What's interesting is going to be tomorrow night, the Timberwolves at the Phoenix Suns, which carries a little bit more weight. Now we're kind of scoreboard watching. I'm curious, and I'm kind of putting you on the spot here because we are so close to the end of the road.
Yeah.
Is there an opponent that you would, if you could like handpick an opponent, who would you want to see, or who is a team that you maybe don't want to see? You could take it either way.
So are we kind of indicating that we're going to be the number two seed? Let's just say we're going to be sitting at number two.
You could literally do whatever you want, because they could be the one seed, they could be the two seed, they could be the three seed. So if you were just to handpick an opponent that you didn't want or would want, who comes to mind?
Yeah,
there?
First off, I think the lowest we're going to be is number two. I think that we're going to figure out a way to win a lot of these games, even if Jamal's not playing, be a number two seed at least.
Yeah.
There's two teams that I have in my head that if I had a hand pick, and then I'll break it down to one, but if I had a hand pick, it would either be the Sacramento Kings or the Warriors. Those two teams are the teams that I would hand pick for us to play the first round.
Okay.
Which, where are you going with?
No, I like where your head's at. And those are teams in the play-in.
Yeah.
And that could possibly be playing that one or two seed if they come out of the play-in. I like those two, Phil. I do. I don't believe in the Warriors. Mm. Their window is closed. I just don't believe it. I know they've been playing better.
Yeah.
They've won five in a row. I just don't believe that team is capable of beating this current Denver Nuggets team. And I don't believe the Kings could beat the Nuggets as well. And they've won a couple in a row, too, six of their last 10.
And they've beaten us a couple times.
They have. No, you're right. They have. But when everything's on the line and you're getting the A-plus version of a focused Nuggets, and I'm assuming this with good health.
Yeah.
With Jamal being back.
Let's put some good juju in the air.
Okay. Because without Jamal, I don't know. It gets weird.
Well, let's play it two things. First off, who are you picking? If we only have to get the hand pick one, right? We both agree that either Sacramento or the Warriors. Who are you hand picking though? That one team that we're saying let's just ride with them.
Oh my gosh, I'll go Sacramento.
Sacramento.
I'll go Sacramento.
Is it just because you don't want to disrespect Rutt or Curry? Because I know you're gonna disrespect Russ.
I knew something like that was going.
I got more fire than ever.
It's way too early. It's KJ. It's way too early. I think there is a respect factor for one of the arguably 10 greatest players ever to play, who's still in his prime. It's the rest of the group I don't trust or don't believe in. But it's still that Curry factor of like. If
he
I could just to steer clear of that, I would steer clear of that. But each of these, even as I'm saying it, each of these teams, like even Sacramento, comes with their own challenges,
yes.
Man.
Yes.
So that's
a bonus.
Like, yes.
You know.
Yes.
You know, have him in the playoffs. You know, they have one of the better players when it comes to finishing games.
Yes, they do, right? De'Aaron Fox.
So I would have to go the opposite. I don't want to disrespect Curry, Zach. I don't want to disrespect him because he's one of the greatest to play this game.
But it feels like you're about to.
I'd rather play them because you don't know what you're going to get from Draymond. He's going to punch you in the first game.
Yeah, yeah.
He's going to be out of there.
Yeah.
Okay. Klay's starting to come along, but he's wishy-washy at times. Curry's kind of the only consistent thing you have. They're all older. Okay. They're on a decline. They can't hang with the Denver Nuggets. We've seen it. Mm. Even if they get up by 15, 20, they can't hang with them, especially if Jamal is healthy and everybody is healthy. I have to roll with playing the Warriors because I'm not going to put myself in a situation to be with the Sacramento Kings. And I like to call them, because they're still young, knuckleheads.
Sure.
And they have nothing to lose. Therefore, they're going to go out there and play their little hearts out. And all it takes for them is catch wind, get a little fire under them. And all of a sudden, they start heating up. And they done beat us a couple times. I'm not scared of them.
Right. No, I know.
You know?
Yeah.
But I'm going to go with the old heads on this one.
I like that.
Right?
Yeah, I like it.
Their bones are a little bit more brittle.
I like it. No, I really like it. I think that's a pretty good breakdown and, like, fair assessment of a forecast and what to expect from those teams. All right. Good conversation. When we hear about Jamal, we'll pass it along as soon as we know. No Kawhi Leonard tonight. All right, it's national TV, it's TNT, it's the Clippers. You could put them in their grave in terms of a top three seed later tonight, and I think they're probably already there, and the Nuggets are secure in the top three, but they can make it like academic later tonight. And we will circle back a little bit later in the show and give our predictions on what we expect from that national TV game here in just a few hours. But first, there's a dynamic that could be waiting for the Avalanche in the playoffs that could make us uncomfortable. And we'll tell you why coming up next.
Da-da-da-da, 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 da-da-da-da.
a dynamic that could be waiting for the Colorado Avalanche in the playoffs that may make us uncomfortable. We'll talk about that in just a second. But, Phil, we have Avs and the Minnesota Wild tonight. And Justas Annunen is going to get the start after really struggling in the most recent outing just 48 hours ago. Who did they just freaking play? The Blue Jackets.
Yeah.
They lost 4-1. It was that ugly second period. And
So Annunen is starting again, huh?
He's starting again.
Is that telling you something?
We had this conversation yesterday. We said, will we see him in any other outing other than the back-to-back?
Yeah.
And we have a back-to-back tonight and tomorrow.
Yeah.
But they're choosing to play him on the front end, and it's Edmonton tomorrow night. So maybe they're just prioritizing, you know, hey, we view Edmonton as more of a threat, therefore we're going to give our better goaltender the start.
Mm.
I don't know. What do you think? What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm hoping that's the case and that he's still in timeout, you know, and Bednar just really didn't like what he's seen from Georgiev on the ice and emotionally, like what he did out there.
Yeah.
And so now he's still putting timeout. I'm going to go with what you're thinking, though, Zach, that he's just going to give him the better team, quote-unquote, that he thinks for Georgiev, who's your starting goalie.
Right.
And maybe he wants to give Annunen some confidence because we're going to probably need him. I mean, if we're going to have a situation where we're arguing, like you guys said, you guys used to bicker back and forth back in the day with you and Stoke crybaby selves.
it was the whole fan base.
Oh.
I mean,
the fans was crybabies.
No, it wasn't. No. It wasn't crybaby. It was like, yo, this other guy gives us the best option.
Yeah.
Well, no, he doesn't. And it was like, it was real.
Mm.
It was real between Darcy Kemper and Pavel Francouz at that time.
If we're in a situation like that again, which I hope we're not, but if we are,
yeah,
you want Annunen to have some confidence. So hopefully tonight he goes out there, stands on his head, has a phenomenal game between the pipes, and we can get the win.
I like it. I like it. Boost his confidence and let him just get right back out there instead of waiting another day and thinking about a poor outing. And between Minnesota, and they come with their own challenges, no doubt, but between Minnesota and Edmonton is the better team there. The dynamic that I think could be concerning, and I'm saying could be. I'm not trying to tell you how to feel or tell any fan how to feel, but the Avalanche now trail the Stars by 5 points for the division lead. And I think it's fair to start preparing ourselves for a first-round matchup with the Winnipeg Jets.
Mm, yeah, it's fair. Let's do it.
Okay. And you talk about a guy in Connor Hellebuck, the goaltender there. Phil, he is fantastic.
Mm.
He is fantastic. He is going to win the Vezina, which is the best goaltender of the year. It's kind of like its own MVP, just for goaltenders. This guy is the real deal. He's going to win this award. He's already won the award. I think he's finished in the top four in, like, I want to say three of the last 4 years. I mean, this guy, Connor Hellebuck, I think was it last year or the year before? He finished like fifth or sixth in the Hart Trophy voting, like the league's MVP as a goalie. And so, like,
oh, okay.
Like, this guy can steal a game, he can steal a series. And when we talk about the dynamic of our guys between the pipes, and that's probably the one like real deficiency, and I know it's not a perfect team up and down, but it's like, man, they're gonna have maybe overcome goaltending. That is not the case with a team like Winnipeg.
Yeah.
And it's on my radar.
Yeah, I mean, they're kind of scary right there. You said a goalie almost won the Hart Trophy.
Well, he finished like fifth or sixth.
Well,
in
yeah, like, but he's even getting mentioned for it.
Yes,
we all know that a phenomenal goalie can steal a series, steal a game, but when you're up for the Hart Trophy, you can steal a couple series.
Yeah,
and that's scary. And so if we have to face Winnipeg in the first round, I don't think it's ideal. I'd rather see someone like Nashville.
Yep.
Right. I'd rather see Nashville, who kind of matches us speed for speed,
yeah,
aggressiveness. I think the goalie position, you know, it's not as strong as Winnipeg's.
Yeah.
So I think it's a better way to the cup, a better journey to the cup if we can get somebody like Nashville other than Winnipeg. When I watch those games, Zach, on the ice with the Colorado Avalanche, the thing that I think we lack, and that's just from me being a fan and watching this and playing a sport, a physical sport,
sure,
is the physicality part. Winnipeg is big and physical. Avalanche is fast and finesse. And you guys been telling me this from the start. Hey, Phil, in this journey, when we get to these playoffs, it's going to be ugly goals, okay? It's going to be hard-hitting. It's going to be all about physicality. Well, is the Colorado Avalanche up for that in the first round? And if they are and they get this, you know, this series and they win it, are they wore out because of a dogfight, because of the physicality part about it?
All really good observations. And pointing to these dynamics and shining a light on them, there's no question about it. Each series is going to come with its own challenges. I do just wonder if just going up against Connor Hellebuck is just like, I mean, you're talking about he's given up 2.4 goals per game. That's third in the NHL.
Yeah.
He's got a save percentage of .919. That's first in the NHL. So it just, he's kind of a brick wall in there. So, again, not fear, but absolutely respect. We saw a video of Val Nichushkin skating around at like 10:15 this morning at Family Sports. He was still in Denver. The report was he was going to join the team in Minnesota. Doesn't feel like we're going to see him tonight, but it may be tomorrow night. Val gets reintroduced.
Yeah, I think that you can slow play someone like Val. I think his situation is a little bit different than Jamal Murray's. Right, because we don't know what's wrong with Jamal. At least Val is skating around the ice, and probably the only reason why he's not with the team is because he didn't have enough time to get up there with the plane rides and stuff. So probably the next game he will be there, which is going to be a big boost for us.
All right, this is Jared Bednar talking about admitting looking at the scoreboard.
I mean, I've been interested in like some of the races that are going on. Top of our division conference, the other side, same thing. Some teams fighting to get in playoffs. Seems like everyone's jockeying position on a nightly basis, which it makes an interesting race. So I think it's really good for the NHL. The parity in the league's never been better.
And it's going to be much like we're saying about the Western Conference road for the Nuggets.
Yeah.
Western Conference road for the Avs. I mean, it's not supposed to be easy. It's going to be hard. And we're going to find out over the next couple months what this version of the Avs are made of.
Woo-wee. It ain't easy being cheesy.
Well, we'll see. We'll see how much cheese the Avs can
muster up.
Yeah, can muster up here. 16 days from now, the NHL playoffs begin. Okay, guys, there's a member of Denver Sports who is not waiting for the storm to pass, but instead learning how to dance in the rain, and we'll tell you who we're talking about coming up next. There's a member of Denver Sports who is not waiting for the storm to pass, but instead is learning how to dance in the rain. The heck are we talking about here? You ever hear that quote, Phil?
It's like, yeah.
Life is not about waiting for the storm to pass. It's about learning how to dance in the rain.
You got to be able to adjust and adapt and, you know, take the good punches with the bad punches and keep rolling.
Yeah, and that's what it is. Like, how can I just make the best of this situation? What situation do you think I'm talking about in Denver sports that's a storm?
I don't know.
Could it be one of two.
A storm or is it a tsunami?
Right.
Like I'm thinking of if we're going in a bad way with the storm, because sometimes, you know, just like the storm's coming, you want to be the storm. Well, the Rockies want to try to be the storm, but they're not the storm. They're in the storm. They're trying to get out of it.
I'm thinking you had me laughing yesterday when you were saying that. You used to tell the Broncos photographer, like, hey, get a clean shot of
me. Get a clean one.
So for Instagram.
The muscles got like you want to know why the muscles usually popping when you watch or you see a photo? It's because usually you're in an action shot, so somebody's like trying to tackle you, so you're tensed up.
Sure.
So the muscles are popping, the veins are popping. You're looking all nice and sexy, right? My wife is all jealous and stuff because of how I'm looking on that field.
Oh no.
Tight pants.
Oh jeez.
All right. Thankfully, I have a helmet on.
Right.
Right. But that's when you get the best photos. Is when you're in an action
shot. You said the caption is, the storm's coming, or I am the storm.
I am the storm.
Was that really a caption once upon a time?
It was something like that.
Yeah, I'm sure. Caption game buttoned
up. It was like, it was saying something like, the devil whispered in my ear, there's a storm coming. And I looked back at the devil and told him, I am the storm.
That is so classic.
Look at that goosebumps.
Hey, the hair is standing up.
Dominate, elevate.
21 ways to win it on and off the field. All right. I'm talking about Charlie Blackman.
Mm.
And the storm that's, you know, that we're living in is the Rockies. The Rockies, they lost again last night. And they are among the worst teams in the sport. They're off to the worst start that they've ever had, going back to like 2005. So times are bad, and there's no, you look at that 10-day forecast with the Colorado Rockies, there's no sunshine right around the corner. But Charlie freaking Blackman, the most identifiable member of this baseball team, a holdover from yesteryear, 37 years old. Phil,
37?
Charlie Blackman was playing baseball for the Rockies when you were like a sophomore in high school.
Yes, I know. That's wild.
I mean, he's been
here
14 years. And you think he's just kind of in the background? No. He's been the Rockies' best player. After seven games, and it's just seven games. All right, so we acknowledge that, but that's what we have to react to. Charlie's hitting .417. That is the 10th best mark in the sport.
Mm.
Think about all the great players that Major League Baseball has. Yeah. There's not 10 of them who have a higher batting average than Charlie Blackman right now. And I just think that...
he's 37 years old.
37 playing pro sports. I'm 37.
See, that's the issue right here. That's the issue right here. It's not like football. It's not the quarterback position where you have Tom Brady, all right? And you have a bunch of young bucks around him that can do everything. You're having Charlie Blackman have to pull this team up. Who's the oldest? Is he the oldest?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, oldest man on the team.
Yeah.
Okay, you're not going to win doing things like that. He's supposed to be just a supporting cast at this time.
Yes.
Go out there and, look at Charlie Blackman. Like, I remember the great old days. He's still having to be the great old days for us.
Right.
That's not a good thing.
It's not great. It's not great. But I just, this Rocky story, it's so negative, Phil. It's so negative.
It's bizarre.
It's bad. It's never been worse. And you're talking about your highest paid pitcher is setting like historical records out of the gate for how bad it's been.
Yeah.
In Kyle Freeland. Your most expensive everyday player, Chris Bryant, making $28 million, got his first hit last night, in game number,
Seven.
Got his first hit last night. It started, 0 for 18 at the plate before getting his first single, making $28 million. And it's freaking Chuck Nasty, Charlie Blackman, who's the one who still has the torch. And it's just, I'm going to ask the question. I want to throw it out to the RamosLaw.com text line. And what question do I want to ask specifically? Because I'm kind of like workshopping it in my mind. Charlie has been around for so long.
Yeah.
He's not going to go to the Hall of Fame. But he is like in like almost like the Rockies Hall of Fame, and he's been such like interwoven in the team history for a decade and a half. Like, who else do you think of in Denver sports that's like a Charlie Blackman comp?
And Denver sports.
And it could be right now or it could be ever, like of all time, a guy that was never like looked at as because John Elway was here forever.
Yeah.
But John Elway is one of the greatest players of all time.
Yeah, to play the game.
That's not Charlie. Charlie's in like the Hall of Really Good, not the Hall of Fame, but he's been here for so stinking long.
Yeah.
It's like, man, who else do you think of when you think of a career like Charlie Blackman? 14 years in one place just doesn't happen in pro sports anymore.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. Would someone like Carmelo Anthony count? Because is Carmelo going to go to the Hall of Fame?
Yes, definitely.
Okay. So then I guess he wouldn't because he is going
to he's going to go to the Hall of Fame. So it's like, you know who I thought of with this? And Drew, if you want to chime in on this, you know who I thought of? Eric Johnson.
I knew you were going there. That's a good comparison.
Who didn't, didn't start his career with the Colorado Avalanche. I think it was St. Louis.
St. Louis, yeah.
But he came in 2011, and he was here through 2023.
Mm.
And,
This is the first year he's been gone.
Oh, yeah, that's what I thought. So he was here through 2023. Eric Johnson, like never the best player on the Avs, never like going in the like Hall of Fame, but he was just here for
solid
ever.
And a fan favorite. Like the fans love, love Eric Johnson.
And that's the perfect word. Solid and like did it forever.
Yeah.
And Eric Johnson comes to mind, but I'll throw it out there to the text line. Who else? You know,
that's, this is a hard one, man, because a lot of them that have stuck around for a long time, Zach, are probably going to go to the Hall of Fame if we know him. You know, I put out Carmelo like that, and I know he left, but he's going to go to the Hall of Fame.
Yes.
We already have John Elway. Von Miller's going to go to the Hall of Fame.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
So it's like, who that has been here for a long time?
And
it's hard in sports now.
It is, especially pro sports. It's like, it's so transient.
Yeah, they move around so much.
They do. They do. And I don't know, I can't, I mean, do you guys...
I'll give you one that I thought of, another Rocky who was here, I think it was 9, maybe 10 years, was okay. Carlos Gonzalez.
Yeah, Cargo, yeah.
He kind of fits in that mold.
Yeah.
We're getting a lot on the Ramoslaw.com text line. Rod Smith for the Broncos.
Oh, Rod.
Not, like, probably not a Hall of Famer.
That
but
one actually pisses me off, because Rod Smith should be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, he should.
Why wouldn't they put him in the Hall of Fame?
I don't know.
Is it like I know there's been undrafted players in the Hall of Fame, and you know Rod's undrafted, right?
Of course.
So that's not the knock on him. You know,
I don't know. Like, he's, where does Rod Smith stack up in NFL history all time receiving list? He's got to be in the top 20, because he was over 11,000 yards, so he's just not in like the 10,000 yard club. He's over 11,000 yards. Where is he? He's not in the top 20. My mistake. He's the 36th leading receiver. So that might be what, he's not high enough on the all-time list.
Yeah.
But like, I don't know, man. He's got as many yards right now as Mike Evans, who we all look at as a slam dunk Hall of Famer.
Sure.
Rod's good though.
Here's another one from the Broncos, and we just saw him leave, Justin Simmons.
Yeah.
Does he kind of fit in that realm too?
See, Justin, I don't think he'll ever be in the Hall of Fame. I don't know how, what a safety has to do to get to the Hall of Fame.
No, he's not. He doesn't have no disrespect. He doesn't have a Hall of Fame resume.
No. Ring of Fame?
We talked about it.
And I don't even know if that's the case, because you have people like Ed McCaffrey that hasn't even got into the Ring of Fame.
Yeah.
So,
he's not a lock.
You know?
I think he'll get there, but I think he'll get there. Because he's got a great relationship with the organization.
Yeah.
But not a lock.
Maybe if Jay would have been here for 10 years, 11 years, like, then you could say that. Because he would have continued to get the interceptions here and everything else.
Yes.
But because he's been for 8, 9?
Yeah, his first year was 16.
Yeah, so like 9 years. He probably is a lot. Like, who? Like, that's the question.
You know, Bowles is working his way up there.
Bowles, but he's not going to ever be in the Hall of Fame.
No, but we're looking for people who are not going to the Hall of Fame to sync up with the career of Charlie Blackmon.
I think what hurts Bowles is what he did at the beginning of his career. Those 4 years of everybody booing him.
Yeah.
The 4 years, see, that's never going to go away. And all it takes is for Bowles to start holding 2 games in a row, and everybody's going to say, here's Bowles again.
Garrett Holtz.
Now, he's been quiet.
He has
which
been.
Is good for offensive linemen.
It's been great.
But Bowles has been here for a very long time.
We'll field some responses on the RamosLaw.com text line. Who else do you think of in Denver sports currently or history that reminds you of the career of Charlie Blackmon? Solid, not a Hall of Famer, and was here for a really long time. All right, join us this Friday, which is tomorrow, for our home opener party. Live from the rooftop at El Patio Denver, right across the street from Coors Field. Stoke and Josh will walk you up the first pitch, and then we'll rock with you all the way until 6 p.m. Really looking forward to a beautiful day in Denver tomorrow, and we'll be live right there down on the scene if you want to come say hello to myself or Phil. All right. Shifting gears here, the smoke between the Broncos and one quarterback in the draft is now billowing. And this time, it's coming from a local source. That's next.